You're listening to an African Elements Top News Story for June 26, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why is a landmark housing bill held hostage over voting laws? The modern political landscape witnessed a dramatic collision of economic relief and voting rights on June 24, 2026. Congress had just passed the 21st Century Road to Housing Act with overwhelming, veto-proof majorities. The Senate voted 85-5, while the House of Representatives approved the bill with a 358-32 majority. This sweeping bipartisan package aimed to fund affordable housing construction and expand rental assistance. Yet President Donald Trump abruptly canceled the White House signing ceremony. The administration announced that it will block the affordable housing bill until Congress passes the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility, SAVE, Act. This high-stakes standoff represents a modern challenge to basic civil rights. The decision to hold housing assistance hostage to restrict ballot access shows how economic security is deeply tied to the ongoing struggle for equality. Historically, marginalized communities have had to fight to secure both physical shelter and political power. This political maneuver serves as a reminder of how the elusive concept of freedom has been leveraged in American history to bargain away the rights of vulnerable citizens. The passage of the 21st Century Road to Housing Act represents a historic moment in congressional lawmaking. Two prominent African-American lawmakers, Senator Tim Scott and Representative Maxine Waters, led the negotiations. These leaders brought vastly different philosophies to the table. Senator Scott drew on his personal experience growing up in a low-income, single-parent household in North Charleston, South Carolina. He championed supply-side solutions to stimulate the market, pushing for deregulation and streamlining environmental reviews under the National Environmental Policy Act. Conversely, Representative Waters used her extensive career on Capitol Hill to fight for progressive consumer protections and direct federal aid. She focused heavily on expanding rental assistance and penalizing corporate buyers who target low-income neighborhoods. Through difficult negotiations, the two lawmakers managed to bridge the partisan divide. They delivered a comprehensive package designed to increase the housing supply while safeguarding communities of color. This compromise was hailed as a major legislative breakthrough before the sudden White House intervention. The 2026 housing package is the most significant federal housing legislation in over three decades. The last major intervention occurred in 1990 when President George H.W. Bush signed the Cranston-Gonzalez National Affordable Housing Act. This landmark 1990 legislation changed how the federal government managed housing relief. It established the Home Investment Partnerships Program, which provided direct block grants to local governments. This shifted the federal approach toward decentralized, local decision-making, and public-private partnerships. For 36 years after Cranston-Gonzalez, federal housing initiatives remained largely stagnant. Congress relied on small-scale tax credits and minor budget adjustments instead of passing comprehensive reforms. The systemic issues within the housing market continued to compound over these decades. The lack of federal action left millions of low-income families without adequate support. The 2026 legislation sought to finally break this policy drought by combining supply-side reforms with direct rental assistance. The 1990 Cranston-Gonzalez Act also introduced the concepts that led to the HOPE 6th public housing program. This policy aimed to deconcentrate poverty by dismantling dense, distressed urban public housing developments. Policymakers believed that replacing high-density towers with mixed-income, low-density developments would revitalize urban centers. However, this transition had devastating impacts on low-income, predominantly African-American residents. It fractured tight-knit urban communities and led to massive displacement. Rather than improving lives, the deconcentration policy resulted in the demolition of nearly 100,000 public housing units. These units were not replaced on a one-to-one basis, which created a net loss of over 43,000 affordable homes. Displaced families received Section 8 vouchers, but many landlords refused to accept them. This forced families into other highly segregated, high-poverty neighborhoods. Activists criticized these programs as government-sanctioned gentrifications. This historical displacement is reminiscent of how Reconstruction failed to deliver long-term economic independence to Black families. A major provision of the 21st Century Road to Housing Act is a ban on large institutional investors from buying new single-family homes. The bill defines these investors as entities that own 350 or more properties. This regulation targets a corporate trend that began during the Great Recession of 2007 to 2009. After millions of families defaulted on their mortgages, the housing market crashed. In 2012, Fannie Mae launched the REO to Rental pilot program to stabilize falling home prices. This pilot program allowed Wall Street private equity firms to purchase foreclosed homes in bulk. Armed with billions of dollars in cheap credit, corporate entities like Blackstone and Invitation Homes swept into suburban neighborhoods. They quickly built massive rental portfolios. What began as a temporary measure to stabilize the market quickly turned into a highly profitable, permanent business model. Small mom-and-pop landlords were rapidly replaced by corporate giants that prioritized investor returns over tenant welfare. The corporate acquisition of single-family homes is not evenly distributed across the nation. Private equity firms heavily target metropolitan areas with large black populations, such as Memphis, Atlanta, and Houston. These corporations focus on middle-income, majority black neighborhoods, where housing prices are relatively low, but rental demand is high. By making all-cash offers and closing deals in days, corporate buyers easily outbid local working-class families. This predatory purchasing model has severely restricted black homeownership. This localized corporate buying spree acts as a form of modern financial extraction, mirroring past tactics of systemic economic exploitation. A Georgia Tech study revealed that predominantly black neighborhoods in Atlanta lost over half of a $1.25 billion pool of home equity between 2011 and 2021. Instead of building generational wealth through homeownership, black families are forced to rent from Wall Street-backed corporations. This corporate model drains billions of dollars from local communities and transfers that wealth directly to institutional investors. By linking the passage of the housing bill to the SAV Act, the president has resurrected a decades-old battle over voter registration. Since 1993, federal voter registration has been governed by the National Voter Registration Act, commonly called the Motor Voter Law. The NVRA designed a system to make voter registration highly accessible. It allowed citizens to register when applying for a driver's license or receiving public assistance. The law relies on an attestation standard where applicants swear under penalty of perjury that they are citizens. However, conservatives have long argued that this attestation standard is not secure enough. They claim it creates a loophole that allows non-citizens to register, even though multiple academic studies prove this practice is extremely rare. The proposed SAVE Act would dramatically alter this system. It would require every applicant to provide physical, documentary proof of citizenship, such as a passport or a birth certificate, to register to vote in federal elections. Civil rights organizations argue that the SAVE Act is a voter suppression tool designed to disenfranchise marginalized groups. Obtaining physical proof of citizenship is often expensive and time-consuming. For low-income individuals, paying for a replacement birth certificate or a passport acts as a modern-day poll tax. Furthermore, many older black Americans face unique historical barriers. During the Jim Crow era, segregated hospitals in the South routinely denied admission to pregnant black women. As a result, many black elders were born at home with midwives and were never issued formal birth certificates. Requiring these individuals to present standardized, physical proof of citizenship effectively strips them of their constitutional right to vote. Studies show that approximately 10 to 12% of voting-eligible American citizens do not have easy access to these documents. The SAVE Act disproportionately targets women, low-income citizens, and communities of color, creating a major obstacle to the ballot box. The 21st Century Road to Housing Act represents more than a general economic stimulus. It contains specific provisions designed to address systemic racial disparities. Beyond capping corporate home purchases, the bill introduces reforms to combat racial bias in home appraisals. Historically, homes in black neighborhoods are appraised at significantly lower values than identical homes in white areas. The ROAD Act addresses this by requiring mortgage lenders to establish standardized procedures for second appraisals when bias is suspected. Additionally, the bill addresses the issue of heirs' property, which is a major cause of wealth loss among black families. Many black landowners inherited property without a clear title, preventing them from securing loans or federal disaster relief. The ROAD Act commissions a study to find solutions to this legal hurdle. It also establishes a small-dollar mortgage pilot program through the Federal Housing Administration. This pilot program makes it easier for low- to moderate-income buyers to purchase affordable starter homes, directly targeting the racial wealth gap. With the 21st Century ROAD to Housing Act sitting in legislative limbo, the national spotlight has shifted from housing relief to voting rights. The president's refusal to sign the bill creates a high-stakes constitutional standoff. Because the bill passed with veto-proof majorities in both chambers, Congress has the power to override a formal veto. However, the political friction has successfully delayed much-needed relief for millions of Americans facing severe housing instability. The housing crisis continues to worsen while politicians argue over unrelated voting laws. According to data from the Joint Center for Housing Studies, the median home price in 2026 has soared above $400,000, leaving average families priced out of the market. Furthermore, two-thirds of low-income renters are severely cost-burdened, spending over half of their income on rent. This political standoff demonstrates how economic security in America remains deeply entangled with the ongoing struggle to protect civil rights and access to the ballot. Copyright, African Elements.